Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Aleph. We begin three lines from the top with the brand new Mishnah. Again, it's not such a brand new Mishnah because we've already learned it in the previous days, but we'll start it now. Three lines from the top. We continue to learn for the safety of all of Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, some more hostages released. Be'ezus Hashem, this should be the start and the continuation of the freeing of all the hostages, the success of Tzahal, the safety of Tzahal, all those in need of Refuah Shleima, both medical, physical, psychological, should all have a Refuah Shleima. Those that are in mourning for the korbanos that they've sacrificed for Klal Yisrael, should be'ezus Hashem, have Nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Yishbereinu. Okay, we begin three lines at the top, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, with the Mishnah. Shnei Kadorin. You have two people that make pots. They're called Kadorin. They make jugs. Shahu Mahalchin Ze'achazeh. And they're walking on the Rishus Sarabim, one after the other. And the Niskal Rishon, the first person trips and falls, the Nofal, and the Niskal Sheni Rishon, and the second person trips over him. So what's the Halacha? Rishon Chayiv Niskal Sheni. The first person is Chayiv to pay the damages of the second person. So the Gemara starts and tells us, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo tema matzis Rav Meir. Don't say that this is only the opinion of Rav Meir. And this is what we had this previously. We had a machlokas the other day between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The Rav Meir said that the person is considered, if he falls in the Rishus HaRabim, he's considered a posheya, and therefore any damage that results from that is because he was posheya. It's a pshius on his part, and therefore he has to pay damages. But the Chachamim disagree and say if a person falls in Rishus HaRabim, it's like an onus. He didn't control, he wasn't held responsible for not falling, and therefore any damage that he caused aren't going to be his responsibility. So Rav Yochanan tells us, don't say that our Mishnah only is like the Das Yochanan of Rav Meir. Lo tema masnis in Rav Meir, he d'omar niska poshehu, that says that the person who slips and falls is a posheya. If he is negligent, that's why you understand he's chayiv. But if implying that the chacham who says he's not negligent will say he's not chayiv. No, don't say doma niska posheyahu v'chayiv. Elo afilu l'rabbanan, even according to the opinion of the chachamim, who say the amre, they hold onusu, the person is considered an accident that he tripped, and therefore potter, he's not chayiv for damages. Nevertheless, in our Mishnah, hocha chayiv. Here he is chayiv, even according to the chachamim. Why is that? Because shehoyah lo lamod v'lo amad. Because he had the opportunity to stand up. As Rashi says, klomar, bahochi misukmo masnisin. Our case in the Mishnah has to be learned in the following manner. Sheshoha b'nefiloso. He fell down, but he didn't get up right away. He took his sweet time in getting up. Kidei amida. And he could have gotten up sooner, v'lo amad. And therefore, he's not held accountable for falling down in the first place, but he's held accountable for not getting up faster. And therefore, if the second guy tripped over him, since he didn't get up fast enough, even the Chacham would say in that situation, he is a posheya, and therefore you would be chayav for the damages. That is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Now, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok disagrees. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, Omar, he says, no, afilu tema lo hayo lo la'amod. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says that the Chachamim would say in our Mishnah that Yechayiv, even if there was no period of time where he delayed in getting up, he fell down and he got up almost as soon as possible. So therefore, he's not a posheya in any way. Nevertheless, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says the Chachamim still would say Yechayiv in our Mishnah because Hayelo Lahazir Velo Hizir. Yes, he didn't delay in getting up, and therefore he's not held accountable for not getting up faster. But while he's getting up, he should have said, hey, watch out, I fell. Don't keep on walking. You're going to walk right into me. So he's held accountable for not warning the guy behind him, hey, listen, I just fell. Be careful. Watch out. That he could have said. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, even though he didn't delay in getting up, like Rav Yochanan said, since he didn't warn the people behind him, hey, watch out, I fell down, so therefore he is held accountable, and that's why the Chachamim would say that he's liable for paying for the damages. No, why did Rav Yochanan like that, Teretz? Rav Yochanan Amar, he says, kiven v'lo hayo lo la'amod, since there was no time for him to get up, according to you, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, you're saying that he didn't delay in getting up, so then, lo yolo lahasir, the Torah, then he likewise couldn't have warned them, because he was busy getting up right away. He didn't have it in his mind to think that, listen, I have to go and tell them to watch out for me. I'm getting up right away. So therefore, he's busy getting up right away. So therefore, that's what Rav Yochanan says. If that were the case, he wouldn't be chayiv. It's only because he delayed in getting up, that's why he's held to be chayiv. He's held liable. Because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, he doesn't agree with him that there was a time for him to warn them, even though he stood up right away. Okay, so this is the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, how to understand the Mishnah. Now, Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, which we'll learn maybe at the end of today's year, or be the first thing in tomorrow's year. It's on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. I don't know if we'll get to it today. We'll see how far we go. So we learn in that Mishnah, Haya Baal Korah Rishon Ubaal Chavis Achron. You have two people walking, one in front of the other, and you have the first person walking is carrying a beam. And The second person is carrying a chavis, a barrel, a jug of some sort. And you know what's going to happen? Nishbura chavis bakora. The beam goes and breaks the barrel. It goes and breaks this chavis. Now, potter, the owner of the beam, the Baal Chavis, in this situation is considered potter. The Mishnah will explain, because each of them has a right to walk over there, and neither one did anything wrong, so therefore nobody is held liable in this situation. However, the Im Amad Baal Korah, if the Baal Korah stopped, he just suddenly stopped, and then the guy with the barrel, with the Chavis, bangs into him, then Chayiv, then the owner of the beam, the Baal Korah, is in fact held accountable. He is liable, and he'll have to pay. Because he shouldn't have stopped. He doesn't have the right to stop in the Rishus Rabbim. Now, my lav, Shomar the Kaseh, aren't we talking about that he stopped even to just adjust the beam on his shoulder? And the Orchayu, that's a normal thing to do. We don't expect somebody to just continue to walk for a long time without having to adjust the beam on his shoulder. And nevertheless, Uktani Chayiv, and we hold him liable even if he stopped just to adjust the beam on his shoulder. So, the reason he's held liable in that situation because he stopped, even though it was lekasev, even though it's a normal thing to stop, is with the havelei lahazir. Isn't it because he should have warned the guy behind him, hey, I'm about to adjust the beam on my shoulder, so even though I have a right to do this, you should know to stop. So this is a kasha on Rav Yochanan. This seems to support that which Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, that the person hayolo lahasir v'lo hisir. So to over here, the reason he's held liable is because even though he's doing something that's normal, the orchayu, nevertheless, toni chayiv, because the havelei lahasir, he should have warned the guy behind him. So this is a riot to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and a kasha to Rav Yochanan. So he says, no, we're not talking about here that it was a normal urche type of adjustment, shomar l'kasev, just to adjust the beam on his shoulder, to balance the load a little bit. Lo, kishomar lofosh, he stopped to rest. He's actually taking a pause over here. That he doesn't have the right to do in the Rishus HaRabim, and that's why that's not urche. That is something that is a shinoi, and if you're a mishana in the Rishus HaRabim, so then you didn't have the right to do that, and you're held liable. And there's nothing to do with warning the guy behind him, and therefore this Mishnah on Lamed Aleph and Mebeis is consistent with Rav Yochanan Shita, and it's not a raya against him, and it's not a raya in favor of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. More questions is, so then if that's true, then the Mishnah is distinguishing between stopping lekosev to just adjust the load on your shoulder, which is urchehu, and stopping lofush to rest, which is not urchehu. So if that's true, so then avol omad lekasev mai, so what would be that locha if you're just going to adjust on your shoulder? So then the Mishnah would be telling us that the din is that you would be potter. Avol omad lekasev mai, potter, you'd be potter. So instead of giving us in the Sefer of the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph of Beis, Adetani Sefer, however, it says over there, V'yemar malo lebal hachavis, amod, if you tell the Baal Chavis, listen, stand still because I'm going to stop, then you should be potter because you have warned him. So instead of giving us that scenario, you could have made the same distinction between the cases of lekosev and lofush. So liflog v'lisne bidido. We always like to keep things as simple as possible within the same scenario rather than introduce a new scenario such as the Baal Chavis was told to stop by the Baal Korah. So therefore, instead of telling us that, so then instead say by medvar mamurim, you know what the law is, that the halacha is kisha amad lofush. Then in that situation, you would be chayiv avo amad lekase. But if you just stop you to adjust the load on your shoulder, which is urchei, then you'd be potter. Now it didn't tell us that, so therefore this is a kasha on Rav Yochanan's understanding. We go back to our original understanding that this is a kasha on Rav Yochanan. Someone says, no. Rav Yochanan would say, no, that's exactly the diuk. Ha-kamashula, this is the chiddush of that Mishnah. And it had to tell us the case of the Amar lo lebal chavis amod. So the avagav, the Amar lofush, even though the Baal Korah, the one who owns the beam, has needed to stop, but as long as he tells him, I'm going to stop, I need to rest over here, not just to adjust, not just lekasev, but lofush, as long as he tells him, as long as he told the Baal Chavis, I'm stopping, you better be careful, and you better stop also, then if he does this, he's potter, even if the other guy doesn't stop. Okay, so therefore, Rav Yochanan, again, is perfectly in accord with the Mishnah, Lamed Aleph Amibes, it's not a kash against him. Try again to shlug up Rav Yochanan in his machlokis with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Toshma, we learn the following braisa, hakadorim, people that make these pots, or vahazagogin, Rashi tells us that these are people that make glass utensils, mochre klei zechuchis, so the ones that sell these pots, or they sell these glass utensils, shayma halchin zachazeh. Again, you have one walking in the front, and one walking behind them. So niskal harishon, the first guy unfortunately, trips and he falls, the Nofal, and Viniska Lasheni Berishon. And the second guy, therefore, then stumbles over the first guy. And then there's a whole domino effect over here. Vashlishi, there's a third guy walking. Vashlishi falls on the second guy, Bisheni. So what's the halacha? We have the first guy, second guy, third guy. The first guy trips and falls. Second guy falls over him. Third guy falls over the second guy. So Rishon Chayev Beniske Sheni. The first person who fell first, he's Chayev for the Nezek, the damage that he did to the second person. Bisheni and the second person is Chayev Beniske Shlishi. He's Chayev in the damages that was done to the third person. However, the Braisa adds, the Imachmas Rishon Noflu, if the third person fell, not because of the second person, but because of the first person. So now here, both the second person and the third person fell because of the first person directly. So then in this situation, Rishon Chayav Beniske Kulam. So then the first person not only has to pay the damages for number two, but he also has to pay the damages for number three. But the Braisa then tells us, Vim his hero, if he warned them, hey, I fell down, you better be careful. Zeh, if he warned both number two and number three, then he's not held liable. Piturin. Now, my lab, Shaloi Hoyo Lehen Lamot. Now, aren't we talking about a case over here where he didn't have time to get up, but he saw them coming and he said, listen, I can't get up right away, or I'm getting up as fast as I can, but I'm warning you. And this is exactly what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said in that situation, that's why you're potter. And it doesn't have to be in a case where he didn't have time to get up. So my lav, shelo hayolehen lamot, he didn't have time to get up, and therefore he was warning them, and we see that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is right. So the Gemara says that the reason that he's chayiv is because he didn't warn them. So, in his hero, zeh then p'turim. But if he didn't warn them, then he's chayiv. Exactly like Rav Nachman Yitzchok said in the Kasher of Yochanan. So, where he says, no, again, lo. Shehayo len lama. We're talking about a case where he could have gotten up, but he took his sweet time in getting up. And therefore, that's why he is chayiv. Shehayo lehen lama. He could have gotten up. So, both number one could have gotten up, and number two could have gotten up. And that's why they're chayiv for number two and number three, respectively. Or, number one is chayiv for two and three if they both tripped over him because he had time to get up. Where it says, well, wait a second. If they didn't have time to get up, then what would be the halacha? Mai? So then that would be potter, because you, Rav Yochanan, say it's only because he took his sweet time in getting up. But if he didn't take his sweet time in getting up, so then he wouldn't be chayiv. He would be potter. So if that's true, again, the same thing as we had a moment ago. Ihachi. So then why are you telling me a new case in the sefer of that brisa? At the Tani sefer, the end of that brisa, it says, im is hiru zeh as their potter. It says, if he, however, warned them, then he's potter. Instead of giving us this new case of if he warned them, she should have just said, Liflog vilisne bidida. You could have given us in the same scenario the following example, and this way you don't have to go to this new scenario of him his hero. So you could have just said, what is the case talking about over here? That he's going to be chayav, shayol hen lamot, where he took his sweet time in getting up, and he should have gotten up. That's why he's chayav. However, if he didn't have time to get up, either he, number one, or number two, they didn't have time to get up, then p'turin, then they should be potter. So why do you have to give me the third case of him his hero if he won that? You could have just left it with this case of one falling and two falling and then causing damage to number two and three. So therefore, you didn't need to give me this other case. So therefore, Rav Yochanan, you must be incorrect. And the Gemara says the same terms we gave before. No, this is coming to teach us. The Afo got the hoyol in lamot. Even though there was an ability to get up, as long as he warned them, he's okay. He is hero. Even though he could have gotten up, as long as he warned them, he is okay. There is no problem. And he's going to be held not liable. He'll be potter. Okay. So again, Rav Yochanan is okay with this brice as well. Rava now goes and discusses this price in a little bit more detail. Rishon, the first person, again, we have three, either Kadarim or Zagogim, three either people that make the earthenware, pottery, or they make the glass utensil, and you have number one tripping, and he trips number two, and he trips number three. So Rava tells us, the Rishon is Chayav Beniske Shady, as the price had said, first person is Chayav for damages for number two. And what type of damages are we talking about? Bein biniske gufo, bein biniske mamono. And the right way Rashi tells us to understand this, the Rashi's are found actually on Lamed Aleph Omud Beis. So the right way to understand this, the Gemara tells us right now, we'll see another way to possibly understand this, and we'll revert eventually to this way to understand this, is that Rava tells us it means whether the first person damaged person number two with his body, ben biniske gufo, his body caused damage to person number two, ben biniske mamono, or his item, his pottery, or his glassware caused damages to person number two. So That's what it means, bein beniske gufo, bein beniske momono, that his body or his property caused damage to guy number two. And likewise, sheni chayav beniske shlishi, the second person is chayav for the damages he caused to the third person, that's only beniske gufo, that's only if his body caused damage to person number three. However, if his kalim did, avolo beniske momono, but if his property, his kalim, or the pots or the glass item that he had, the glass utensils or the earthenware pottery, caused the damage, then would not be chayev. Number two would not be chayev to number three. So number one is chayev to number two, whether it was the person himself that damaged number two, or whether it was his pots or his glass that damaged person number two. And person number two is only chayev to person number three if he himself, his body, caused the damage to number three, but not if his glassware or his pottery caused the damage to person number three. Now, the Gemara is not happy with this. The Gemara says, "Mimarishat, this doesn't make any sense. If you're going to tell me, iniskalpo sheyahu, if you're going to tell me the position is that the person who stumbles and falls is a posheya, he was negligent, and therefore, that's why he's chayev, so then, that's why the first person is chayev both with his body or with his property for number two's damages. So then, why would it be any different? Number two tripped. He's a posheya. So, sheni nami l'chayev. So, number two should not only be chayev with his body, he should also be chayev with his property. Are you going to tell me, iniska la poshehu? But if you're going to tell me, no, person stumbling is an onus, it doesn't mean that he is a posheya. So then, why should number one and number two have different rules? So then, afilo risho, nami liftar. So then, even number one shouldn't be chayiv for the damages his utensils did. He's an ones. So for his own body, adam is always chayiv. Adam uli olam. So his own body, he's chayiv no matter what. But for his utensils, so his utensils should be parted, both for number one to number two, as well as for number two to number three. So we turn to Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and you notice the top Rashi is Hochi Gar Sinan, and the editors have already given us the Gemara essentially like Rashi's pshat. There are many different ways to understand this Gemara. We're going to learn simple like Rashi, like the Hochi Gar Sinan and the top Rashi, which has already been by the editors put into our Gemara. So in order to understand Rava, the Gemara explains as follows. Again, Rava says that the first person is chayev whether his body or his property damaged number two, whereas the second person is only chayev if his body damaged number three, but not for his property damaging number three. So why is that? So the Gemara explains, Rishon vadai posheyahu, because the first person is definitely negligent. He tripped, and therefore he's chayev to pay, because either himself or his property, he was negligent. So he has to pay whether himself or his property went and damaged number two. However, sheni agufo michayev, the second person is chayev odemud liolim. He's chayev for his body doing damage to number three. The havelo lamot, because he should have stood up. That's the pshia velo amad, but he didn't get up fast enough. So therefore, that's why he's chayev for damaging number three. However, amamono, his broken glass or his broken pottery, potter. If that damaged number three, he's potter. Because he can say, the Amar Lei, he can say to person number three, hi, Bira, this property has the status of being a bor. Bira is a bor. And therefore, I didn't dig this bor. Lav ano kirise. I didn't go and dig this bor. And therefore, it's not my problem. And therefore, for the bor, for my pottery or glassware that caused damage, I didn't dig that, so to say, and therefore, that is not my responsibility. Now, the Gemara questions this understanding that Rava has from the following brisa, Meisvei. We learned in the following brisa, Kulon chayavim al niske gufon. Person's always obligated to pay for damages that he causes with his own body. But upturin al niske mamona, but they're potter for the damages that are caused by their own property to somebody else. Now, what are we talking about? My lav afilu risham. This brisa seems to be saying that even the first person should be potter for the damages caused by the glassware or by the pottery. But our brisa had said that no, you're chayev. So what's going on over here? Rava said that the first person is liable for the property as well as the person causing damages to number two. But this brisa, Rava's an amora, so if that's his understanding of the brisa, that goes against this other understanding of the brisa. So he says, no, lo. Levar mirishon, when the second brisa comes along and says, kulon chayavin aniske gufon, it doesn't mean number one, it means number two. And onwards, there, chayev al niske gufon, upturin al niske mamonim. So number two is only chayev for his body, but not for his property to number three. And number three would only be chayev for his body, but not his property to number four, etc., etc. So it means, levar mirishon. The first one, Number one, he's chayiv for both damage caused by his body and by his kelim. But everybody else is only chayiv for damage that's caused by their body and not by their kelim. So that's how Rabbah would have to understand this second brisa. Kulum chayavin on this kegufan doesn't mean the first person. Upturin on niske mamona, it only means from the second person and on, because the first person is chayiv both for niske gufan and niske mamona. Mara says, but look at the brisa. It says v'ha kulam ktani. It said kulam chayav niske gufan upturin on niske mamona. That implies everybody, including the first guy. So Amar Rav Adda Barabba, he says, no. You know what Rava would have to say? When it says over here, kulan, it means kulan hanizakin, all the people that were themselves damaged. Number one wasn't himself damaged. So it means over here for number two and onwards, and that's why it said kulan, it meant kulan hanizakin. But this is problematic, because then why did it use the terminology kulam? It should have said kol hanizakin. Hi, my, that doesn't make any sense. Iyam is Bishloma Afilu Rishon. If you're telling me that the Kulan includes even the first person, that he's only Chayiv, number one, is only Chayiv with his goof causing damage to number two, but now with his property causing number two, oh, hi, no, the Tani Kulan. Then we would understand why he said Kulan. Elo Iyam is Lavarmi Rishon. But if you're telling me it means only number two is Chayiv with his body, but not with his property, number three is Chayiv with his body, not with his property, but number one is Chayiv both with his property and with his body, Eliyamis Lebar Mirishon, it's everybody but number one. So then why did you use the term my kulan? You shouldn't have said kulan chayavim. You should have said, listen, hani zokin chayavim on this kegufan, upturin on this kemamonim. Why did you say kulan at all? You should have said hani zokin, which means two, three, four, and five, but not number one. So from the fact that it said kulon, it means that number one also is only chayiv on niske gufan and not on niske mamonim. And it's a kasha on the way Rava understands this brisa. So Yigmar says, you're right. So let us say, Elo Amar Rabba, the right way for Rabba to understand this price is as follows. Rishon is chayiv. Now we reinterpret the words. Remember I said that we're saying that niske gufa means damage that was caused by his body to number two, and that niske mamona means damage that was caused by his property to number two. No, now we're going to reinterpret that. Elo Amar Rabba, Rishon chayiv, when it means that the first person is chayiv, it means bein beniske gufo disheni. It means no matter how he hurt the second person, whether he hurt the second person's body, not that he hurt him with his own body, he's chayiv no matter what, no matter how the second person got damaged. Ben beniske gufo, disheni. Ben beniske mamono, disheni. Ruvain, the first person, is going to be chayiv for the damage that he caused to the body or the property of Shimon, number two. Disheni. But Shimon, the second person, is going to be chayiv beniske shlishi, only beniske gufo, only for the damages that he did to the body of Levi, number three. Avalo beniske mamono, but not to the property of number three, to Levi. Why is that, my taima? Because the havale bar, because the second person and the third person, so they are like a bar in the Rishus HaRabim. And a bar in the Rishus HaRabim is only chayav for shor, chamor, or adam, but it's not chayav for kelim. So number two, if he damaged number three, Shimon damaged number three, Levi, so then he's chayiv. But if he damaged the property of Levi, the mamona of Levi, then he's going to be potter because he's a bar. This damage has a status of bar damage, and therefore it's only chayiv for the adam, and it's not going to be chayiv for the kelim. It's only going to be chayiv for the guf of the third person Levi, but not for the mamon of the third person Levi. That's how Rava has to understand it. We now switched around what the words gufo and mamona meant to mean, instead of meaning, as we originally said, the guf of Ruvain, the mamon of Ruvain, now we've turned it around to say, no, it's the damage to the guf of Shimon, to the mamon of Shimon. So Gemara says, okay, if you're now telling me that we're basically dealing over here with damages of the bar category, so that only works out well according to Shmuel. Honi yichal Shmuel. This is a machlokes we had previously between Rav and Shmuel. So this only works out according to Shmuel. The Omar called takola barhu. He says that any type of a takola has the status of being takola of bar. So you put out, remember we had avno, or sakino, or maso. They all have the status of being a bar. And you're chayiv in that situation, whether you own it or you don't own it. That was Shmuel's opinion. Whereas Rav said, Elor Rav, he said, it depends. The Omar, I afkere, if you went and were mafkere, then it has the halachic status of being like a bor, because you can't just be mafkere, you're a bor in the Rishus HaRabim. But if you're not mafkere, you weren't mafkere the item, then no, it doesn't have the status of bor. You know what it has? It has the status of shor. and therefore you would be chayav for mamono. So if you're telling me that this goes like Rav, and you're dealing with a case where he wasn't mafkirit, so then he should be chayav for the mamon. Now, it's talking about himself. It's not really a bar. So of course he wasn't mafkir himself. So then this would be the case of Rav, where he wasn't mafkir his bar. And therefore, you should be chayav not only for the guf, but also for the kalim. Oh, so this, therefore, is another problem on Rava. So Rava seems to be stuck. So Gemara says, you're right. The second way of understanding it, that it meant gufo and mamono of the second person, of the third person, that's incorrect. Let's go back to the way we originally understood it. Liolom kid omar nei kara. That we're dealing with the guf and the mamon of Ruvain. It's his guf or his mamon that damaged Shimon. And it's Shimon's guf and Shimon's mamon that damaged Levi. So then how do you answer up the question that we had? Udekash lo and kulon chayavim. So then why did you use the terminology kulon chayavim? We said you can't say it means from the nizokin and onwards because we said that that doesn't make any sense. So then how do you answer the question that we had? So here, Tirgum of Adda bar Minyumi. So Rav Adda bar Minyumi explained this answer, Kameh de Ravina, in front of Ravina, as follows. Shehusku kalim bekalim. What we're dealing over here is that the kalim didn't damage the person, but the kalim damaged the kalim. So when this brisa says kulan, all of them, that the halacha is kulan chayavim al niske gufan upturin al niske mamonan, that's talking about the kalim. So the kalim go and damage the person, so then you're going to be chayiv. But the kalim go and damage other person's kalim, so they're not going to be chayiv even the first person. And that's the proper way that Rava would have to understand this brisa. Okay, now we just have one thing to go back on. Amar Mar. So we said in the Braisa, we quote Omar Mar, means we're going to go back and quote the Braisa. It said, Im machmas risho noflu, if both number two and number three, if Shimon and Levi both fell because of Ruvain directly, not that Ruvain caused Shimon to fall and Shimon then caused Levi to fall, but no, if both Shimon and Levi, number two and number three, fell because of Ruvain, number one, so then Rishon chayev beniske kulam. So then Ruvain has to pay for all the damages. So how could it possibly be that Ruvain caused number two and number three to fall? Machmas Rishon hechi nafal. How could this be? How could the third person fall, not because of the second person, but fall because of the first person? So we have two terutzim. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa tells us, De pasca liurche kishulda. What does this exactly mean? So if you look in the Rashi's, they're all the way down at the bottom of the daf. Kinevela. Shulda means an avela. It's like there was a carcass in the road. Hamushleches limavar haderech birichova. It goes from one side of the road all the way to the other side of the road. Umimalas kol haderech shulda. Nevela. It goes and fills up the entire road with nevela. So when this first person falls, it's like he was a nevela, a carcass that filled up the entire road. And therefore, number two tripped on him, and also number three tripped on him. So that's how number one could cause directly damage to both number two and number three. That's what Papa's answer. Rav Zvid Omar, Kichutra de Samyusa. Now, it sounds like it's a similar teretz. We'll see in a moment, Tosafot disagrees. It says they're arguing with each other. But let's first explain the words. So Rav Zvid tells us it's like a stick of a blind person. Samyusa is a blind person. So this is like what they call the mobility cane of a blind person, which he taps out in front of him to know what's on the road. So this blind person's stick was across the entire road. So it's similar, one might have thought, there's just two different examples of this. So Rapop and Rav Zvid are similarly saying that it blocked the whole road. But Tosha says, in Dibra Masku, Kichutra Dismuyusa, so he says, no, Arapapa Polik, that in fact, Rav Zvid is arguing Rapapa. And he says, Vasir Leila Rav Zvid, the chipasko liurcha kishilda, when you have the carcass, so to say, going across the whole road, lo yorishul chayiv benezek shlishi, then the first person shouldn't be chayiv on the third person, shahayalo liizar kishua sheni shenofa, because number three should see that number two fell, and he should look down and say, oh, there's something in the road. Avo b'chutra de samiyusa, but the blind person's walking stick, this mobility cane, the have b'alachson, that's on a diagonal. So therefore, kishenizkal harishon b'rosh hachutra, when the first person fell over this stick, the stick was on an angle. So also shibo achakach v'nizkal b'sof hachutra lo ro. So that stick is also now not where the first person was. And therefore, it's on an angle. And therefore, he trips over it as well, even though he sees the second person tripping. So therefore, Rav Zvid, according to Tosus, is arguing with Rapapa. In any event, they're both similar terutzim to explain how number two and number three could fall directly because of number one. Okay. So now, it's still relatively early in the Shia, so let's go weiter. Let's do it ready the next Mishnah, which we had mentioned earlier in the Shia today and previously. Zeh bo v'chaviso, v'zeh bo v'koroso. You have two people walking opposite directions and coming towards each other. One of them has a chavis, one of them has a barrel of some sort, a jug, a container of some sort, an earthenware container. The other person comes to him with a beam, and you know what's going to happen? They collide with each other. And nishvara kado shows that, the karasa shows that. And the barrel, the earthenware container of the person who owns the earthenware container is broken by the korah, by the beam of the person who owns the beam. So what's the halacha? Potter. The person who owns the beam doesn't have to pay damages for the barrel that he broke. Why is that? The Mishnah tells us, because each of them has the right to go and walk over there. Lishneim, as Rashi says, Rishus Lahalech. Both of them have a perfectly good right to walk there. One can't say, hey, what are you doing over here? Each of them has the right to walk there, and each of them should be careful. If the Baal Chavis is not careful, so it's his own fault that it broke, because the other guy has the right to be there. However, Hoya Bala Korah Rishon, but if they're walking not coming towards each other, but they're walking one in front of the other, so you have the Bala Korah walking first, the owner of the beam is walking first, Ubal Chavis Achor, and the owner of the barrel is walking behind him. And then Nishbru Chavis Bakorah, and that situation, somehow the beam breaks the barrel behind him, so then Potter Bala Korah. So the Bala Korah in that situation is also going to be Potter. Why is that? So Rashi says, Shazem Halach Kidarko, we're assuming the first person is walking at the regular pace, and the owner of the Chavis, Vahu Miher Lelechas, he was speeding up, and he shouldn't have gone so fast, and he should have been more careful. And therefore, it's the second person's responsibility for his own barrel, and the Baal Chavis is held accountable for his own barrel breaking, and not the Baal Korah. We don't make the Baal Korah responsible for the Chavis that was broken. Now, we turn to Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah continues and tells us, V'im Omad Baal Korah, however, if the first person, the Baal Korah, stopped, and again, you're not allowed to stop in the Rishus HaRabim, so then, Chayim, so then he stopped without any reason to stop, and he didn't have the right to do so, so then the other person is walking normally, and suddenly the person in front of him stops and breaks his barrel, so then the Baal Korah, the first person, is going to be Chayim for breaking the barrel. Unless the Amarmel Labal Chavis Amot, but if he tells him, listen, I gotta stop, I'm tired, I gotta readjust the load, I gotta stop for a few minutes, he tells him, I'm gonna stop, you better be careful. So then Potter. So then he's not liable, even though the other person wasn't careful. He is not held liable in that situation. Okay. Mishnah continues and tells us what happens if it was the other way around. Hoya Baal Chavis Rishon. Here the guy with the barrel is walking first and the Baal Korah Achron, he's walking after him. And then Nishbru Chavis Bakorah. And then in that situation, the barrel is broken by the beam of the guy number two, then Chayef, because again, he must have walked too fast. The first person was walking normally, carrying his pottery, his jug, his barrel, and the second person sped up, and therefore his beam broke the barrel. In that situation, he's held responsible. However, v'im omad baal chavis, but if the first person suddenly stopped, so then potter. So then the guy with the beam didn't realize that first person was going to stop. He doesn't have the right to stop. And therefore, in that situation, the owner of the beam for breaking the barrel is not held liable. However, v'imamar l'baal korah amot. But if the person who was walking with the pottery says, I got to stop. It's too heavy for me. I got to put it down and rest for a minute. So he tells the second guy, stop. And he doesn't listen. And he keeps on going. And he breaks the barrel. So then chayev. Then the person with the beam is going to be chayev. And then the Mishnah tells us the same halacha applies as with the beam and the barrel. If one of them was carrying a flame, a lantern, and the other one had flax. So v'kein zeh bo b'neiro, v'zeh b'pishtano. The same halacha would apply, all of these dinah that we just said for the barrel and the beam, applies as well if one of them was carrying a nair and one of them was carrying pishtan. So the nair would be the equivalent of the beam, the damaging agent, and the barrel would be the equivalent of the pishtan, which is the thing that gets damaged. And what's the chiddush over here? So even though you might have said that there are differences, a flame might be much more likely to cause damage than a beam, so nevertheless, in this situation, we say the halacha is exactly the same. Okay, let's do a little bit more Gemara. Boy mine Rabba bar Nosan mi Rafuna. So Rabba, who's the son of Nosan, he asked Rafuna the following shaila. What happens? Hamazik is ishto b'tash b'shabita. What is the halacha? Mahu? What is the halacha of the man having relations with his wife and he causes the damages because of the relations, because of the tashmish, he somehow hurts her. So what's the halacha? Do we say, here in the Rishus Kovid, they're obviously having relations, both of them are willing partners. The husband's not allowed to have relations against his wife's will. So they're obviously both willing partners over here in the relations. So therefore, potter, because she agreed to it. Or do we say, no, Odilma Iboya Leli Ayune. No, the husband should have been more careful. And even though the wife agreed to have the relations with him, he's held responsible for any damages that he caused to her. So what's the halacha? That's what Rabbi Bar Nosan asked Rav Huna. So Rav Huna replies, Amalei said, Tinisua, this is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Shelazer rishus lahalech, v'lazer rishus lalech." Both when they're coming in opposite directions, one with the barrel, one with the beam, and they collide. So each of them had the right to be there, and therefore, in achayev. So to over here, the husband had the right to be with his wife. She agreed to those relations, and therefore, even though he could have been more careful, just like in the situation we just said, if one guy's coming from one direction, one comes from the other direction, if they were more careful, they probably wouldn't have banged into each other. But nevertheless, since both of them had the right to be there, so too, the husband had the right to have relations with the wife had the right to have relations with the husband, so therefore, potter. So that's what Rav Huna wants to tell Rabba Bar Nosson. However, Amar Rava, Rava says, I don't agree with that. It's a Kavah Chomer. Umayar, in the case of a person killing somebody accidentally, what we call a Horeg Bishkoga, we have to go to the Ori Mikla if you killed somebody accidentally. So, Umayar, in this forest, where the Pasuk is describing that it happened in a forest. Shazel Rishu So Nichnas, Vazel Rishu So Nichnas. Each of them has a right to go into the forest. And nevertheless, Nasa Kamisha Nichnas, Rishus Chaveiro, V'chayev. Nevertheless, if you killed somebody in an accidental way, so you're Chayev to go to Ori Mikla, even though we have the Rishus to be there, we view it as if it is his Rishus that you entered, and therefore you're Chayev. So certainly, in this situation where the man is entering into his wife, having relations with her, so certainly, this is more so than the forest where we're saying that you're chayiv. So certainly in this situation, you should be chayiv. So therefore, Rava questions Rav Huna's response to Rabba Bar Nosson, who said that you're potter. Rava says you should be chayiv, kal v'chomer, from Hahoreg B'shogeg. Aye, the Gemara says, but wait a second. Our Mishnah said, Eloha, Ktani, Shelazer, Rishus, Lahalech, Velazer, Rishus, Lahalech. But both of them have the right to be there. So in the case of the beam and the pottery, so we said, you're not chayiv. So how come in the case of the husband and the wife, you're chayiv, Rava, you're saying? So Rava would answer, Hasam, Tavayu, Kiadodi, Ninu. In the case of the Mishnah, both of them caused the damage. The beam by itself doesn't cause the damage. It needs the pottery there. The impact of the pottery moving, that also caused the damage as much as it was the beam that was moving. It's the fact that both of them are going at 2 miles an hour as they're walking or whatever it is that they're riding. So it's the velocity of the barrel that contributes to the damage, just like it's the velocity of the beam that contributes to the barrage. Hasam tavayu kadode ninu. Both of them are responsible for the damage. As Rashi tells us, shneyin shavim b'shvirasim. Both of them are equally responsible for the damage that was caused. Sha'av bal chavis siya bishvirasa. His movement, he wasn't standing still, he was moving. So his contribution to the velocity of the contact between the barrel and the beam contributed to the destruction. So therefore, they're both responsible. And therefore, they each had rights to be there. And therefore, they're both potter. However, hocha iyu kavid maisa, in the case of the husband, he's the only one that is, quote, active. He's entering into his wife in the active relations. So therefore, he is the total force that's causing the damage. And therefore, that's why Rava says in this situation, he will be chayiv, as opposed to our Mishnah, which is zel rishus ulzer rishus. Where it says, what are you talking about? She doesn't have any involvement in this over here. The woman's not involved. Foksiv, the pasuk says, v'nichrusu ha'nefashos osos mikerev amam, that both of them would be chayiv, rachmanu litzlan, in a situation where this was an aveira. As Rashi tells us, in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, this was an adulterous case, no way for no efes, b'mashba, so then, both of them are chayiv, v'nichrusu ha'nefashos osos mikerev amam. So, if she didn't commit any action, how could she be chayiv? So, obviously, she's considered doing an action in this situation. So, why are you saying over here that he's the only one doing the action? Iyu kavid maisa. And she didn't do a maisa? If she didn't do a maisa, then she shouldn't be chayiv at all. But she is chayeves. So the Gemara says, no, hanol l'tavayu islu. They both get pleasure from this, and therefore, that's why they're both punished, because they both got pleasure from this act of adultery. So Rachman l'tzlan, the noef and the noefes, are both included in the pasuk, v'nichrusu ha'nefashos ha'osos mikere v'mom. However, hanol l'tavayu islu, but iu maisa, who ka'avi, but it's only the man that actually does a physical maisa. He is the active partner. She is the, quote, passive partner. As we say, Esther Karka Olam, the famous story why Esther was allowed to do what she did, because she did nothing. She just stood there, so to say. And Achashverosh was the one that did the maisa. So therefore, the man is the one that does the maisa. While the woman gets pleasure from this, she's not called doing a maisa. Tosos asked, "Dibra matzul iu kavid maisa." So then, how could she ever be chayev a chatos? Umiyu linyan chatos ulinyan malkus. In regards to bringing a korban chatos, or in regards to getting malkus chayevis, she would be chayevis in this situation. situation. The Rachmana achshevei lehano ma'isa. Just like with the case of the noiv and noefes, that she would be v'nichrusu. So her hanoah is considered enough to be mechayevus her in echatos or in malchus or in karis or rachmona leslan in misas beisted. So in all of these situations, her pleasure, the hanoah that she gets, makes her an active partner. But the actual action that's considered done by the man in terms of nizakin, and therefore Rava's proof from the yar is a very good proof, because even though he has the right to be there, the husband has the right to be with his wife because she agreed to it, nevertheless, he would be chayev to pay for her damages. Not like we had learned in the name of Rav Huna, who answered Rabbah Bar Nasa that he wouldn't be chayev. Rava says that he, in fact, would be chayev. Okay, this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's shir. There should be Shalom Al Yisrael, and the Ezra Hashem, we should continue to hear good news about the hostages.